Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with myself, Shane Todd. Before we get into this fantastic episode of the pod, I need to plug a few things. First and foremost, we're doing a Patreon-only podcast. Tickets only available on Patreon in the Lyric Theatre, Belfast, darling. Dan, when is that?
22nd of July.
Is it?
It's Saturday.
I have to cancel a few things then. So come along. That our guests are Paddy McDonald and Aaron Butler. It should be a very fun time. Come down to see that. I am on tour starting in September. I'm doing the Opera House in Belfast, goh.co.uk. You can get tickets for that. And then I'm doing Derry, Millennium Forum. First night sold out, doing a second one. I'm doing the Olympia, the Three Olympia in Dublin, which will be a great time. And then a few other gigs around the United Kingdom. Also, I need to plug Patreon. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. We do the bonus episode, the special brew, which we're now about to go and record on a picnic blanket. Cute. Me, Dan and Michael in the sunshine down at Sea Park. We also do a live stream episode on a Friday, and there are other things on there. Dan every month posts a picture of his feet too. Before we get into this episode, we're sponsored by NordVPN. You're going, what the hell is a VPN? It's a virtual private network. A service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. It provides an encrypted tunnel for online traffic to flow through. No traffic lights in your tunnel. Nobody can see through the tunnel, get their hands on your online data, or find your real IP address and location. Oh, you villain. You could be anywhere doing anything. You could be looking up Irish League results in Panama. If you're going on holiday this summer, NordVPN can help you get the cheapest deals on flights. A VPN hides the data that airlines use to customize prices. To do that, because you go to check it, you go, oh, I want to go to Madrid, and then you go and check it the next day. It's more expensive to do that, don't it, Dan?
We should have used it when we were rebooking the...
Oh, we could have saved $2,000 for sure. The podcast going out of business is the last episodes. It hides your IP address and service operators won't be able to see where you browse from. Also, you can change your virtual location by selecting a server in a country of your choice to see the pricing differences all across the globe and choose the best deal. Dan, are you saying we could go on Romanian Skyscanner?
Yeah, we could give it a go.
Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/tea with me to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan. Every purchase of 2-year plans will receive a bonus month on top. Whoa, that's a great deal. Right or wrong, Dan?
Right.
We're also sponsored by Manscaped. These guys are changing the pube game for the better throughout the world. I don't know if it's offensive to have a full bush these days, but it's certainly taboo. It's certainly frowned upon. Manscaped provide the number one in men's below-the-belt grooming products to keep everything down there looking good. You know, you get a haircut on your head, people go, if you got a haircut, that looks great. It's the same for your dick and balls. Less people are going to see it, hopefully, but they'll still appreciate it. Things get a little bit sweatier during the summer. With Manscaped, you just get that smooth summer sack, that SSS. Get that triple S. They've got all the products you need. They've got all the products you need, and some, I'll be honest, that you didn't think you needed. Like, if you told me in 2023 we'd be talking about ball toner. I've never looked at a ball bag and went, that needs toned up. But just for safety, they've got it. Use the code TWITHME for 20% off and free shipping. Link for everything is in the description of the episode. And this episode is a great time. My guest is still, he's waiting for William Thompson to pick him up so he can take him over to do my blood. He's sitting opposite me. It's weird to do this because we've just done the episode. But it was one hell of an episode. I thought I understood EastEnders. I don't. There's a guy I've wanted to have on the pod for a long time. Jamie Hutchinson, is that right? Yeah. He's come all the way from Manchester. If you want to know about Magoo time, this is the episode that you need to see. Jamie's great. You've seen him on clips doing the rounds, whether it's for stand-up or his own podcast, the Green Room podcast at Hot Water. Is Hot Water's Green Room podcast? But you could say it's a Green Room podcast at Hot Water. It's fine. This is a contender for guest of the year already. Is William coming to pick you up? He's having a nightmare. William needs to organise himself more. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with my guest, Jamie Hutchinson. Is this your first time over here?
Second. So I've had a nightmare. I've had a complete shambles. So what we was discussing off pod, or travel disasters.
Yeah.
That is under one umbrella term that I've coined. It's called Magoo. You've Magooed it. You've gone to Luton. I assume you've talked about it.
Our 2 grand travel mistake.
That is a Magoo. Right. That's a 2 grand Magoo.
Right.
I've had a Magoo today.
2 grand Magoo sounds like something the mafia used to do.
So Magoo's just like fucking up, basically.
Right, okay.
And I always have to allow for Magoo time because I can't travel. I don't want to be left and right and that.
You'll put in a buffer of Magoo time?
Yeah. So right. I was up at 3 today to get here.
For what time was your flight?
7:30.
Right, okay.
So I'll taxi to Manchester Airport, but allowing for Magoo time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Something will go wrong in the airport.
Yeah.
Something will go wrong getting here. And I startled. I've committed assault on the way here. I inadvertently committed assault.
So how does the day start, right? You get through security, all that, it's all good?
The day started wrong. I couldn't find my shorts.
You just have one pair?
But, I mean,
these are the business pair.
These are the podcast pair. I'm doing tea with me. Go on. These are getting the boo-boo shorts out. Come on, mate.
You a boo-boo man?
I'm a boo-boo man now.
Do you think, you know, if things really kick on, do you think, you know, the way they give, like, a range to people? You know, like, be like, this is Jamie Hutchinson's range. Would you like that someday?
Yeah, but for the piss can.
Right, yeah.
I'm the Pied Piper of piss cans.
Right.
So I want, you know, shirts that look good with a stain on, for example.
Right, yeah. Pre-stain, that's part of the design.
Yeah, pre-stain, because I always have stains on my T-shirt. I don't know if it's toothpaste or cum, but it's we have to do it.
They both come out of your mouth.
Both minty fresh. It's impossible to tell.
Hey, we had this totally off subject. I remember a guy, you ever especially when you're younger, you reveal something that you think is socially acceptable and then realise quickly other people don't do that.
Yeah.
We had a guy in school who was a mate of mine who in second year, you know, we're 12, 13, said he had come on a spoon and eaten it. And then left that out there and was like...
The spoon?
Yeah, for everyone to have a little taste. And
yes, I'll have the bottle, please.
And every... Poor Madame. And everybody was like, first of all, don't tell people that. And secondly, most importantly, don't do it. Don't do that.
Yeah,
he revealed he'd done that multiple times.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've done that myself. Not to the spoon. I mean...
just in your hand.
I mean, said things that I've just, you know, nonchalantly.
Yes.
Thinking, we've all had these kind of scrape sort of things.
Yeah.
Because I remember one same one. We were trying to get on You've Been Framed. You know, for a big break.
Fake it. Because nothing cracks me up more than a faked You've Been Framed. Because I'll spot it.
Yeah, that's...
I go, why were they recording this?
That's what I mean. So I ate me mate sick off the carpet.
Hold on, but that's not that wouldn't fit in on You've Been Framed. That's sick.
Oh no, my mum fell over in the background of Sean and Nickers, so that was the foreground shot. It was a layered shot.
Remember, the dream was to get a clip on You've Been Framed for that 250 quid.
Oh, 250 quid is £1 million.
Yeah, but the fake ones really I can't understand how people don't enjoy You've Been Framed. You ever meet people who are like, yeah, it's fine. I'm like, this is hilarious.
It's funny for the wrong reason. I love watching things for the wrong reasons. I'm addicted to EastEnders and just stuff like that.
Yeah.
And bad teller sort of thing.
Right.
Just to enjoy it for its faults.
So to take it back to the travel today.
Yeah.
When you get to the airport, is it smooth sailing when you get to the airport?
I nearly did a wrong turn because, again, arrows. I fucking hate arrows, mate. Do you know what I mean?
He had arrows?
Yeah. The Romans invented straight roads for a reason.
Yeah.
There was no left and right back then, mate. Do you know what I mean? Fucking straight. Yeah. Why does everything have to be next right? Yeah. Do you know the phrase, take the next left or take the second left?
Yeah.
Until I was about 23, I thought that meant go left and then another left. Take two lefts.
Right, yeah.
Not the second left. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm just, I don't understand. I've not got that part of my brain Like, if you ask me the capital of Finland, I'm fine. But if you ask me to, like, go to Boots and pick up, you know, some deodorant, I'm like, I fucking can't. I don't know what you mean, mate.
Right.
So I don't have that cognitive skill.
You don't know what that means.
I know what it means, but I can't. It loses translation from my brain to my legs. Like, I don't know how to do this now. I don't get it. So you gave me the address before.
Yeah.
I just copied and pasted it into Maps, and I ended up in... And it had a number 10 on it. So I went, there's number 10 there. There's number 10 there.
It's in Northern Ireland. And it's a 10.
10? Come on, mate.
You think it's just one street? I'm at 10 Northern Ireland. Get off the plane, go left.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
Nah, it's us.
Do you know what I did? Right, so I nail it getting on the plane. Right door, right seat, everything. Yeah. Fucking banging.
Thankfully it wasn't left or you wouldn't have got it.
I'm banging this fucking travel out, mate. Yeah.
What airline are you with?
I'm Ryanair. And EasyJet on the way back. I'm the regular Anthony Bourdain, mate.
Yeah.
Right. I'm flying here. Literally.
Yeah.
Right? And metaphorically. Get off. And it says, right, you take the airport transfer bus to somewhere in Ireland.
Yeah.
Right. I get off. I start walking the bus route, thinking it's a 17-minute walk to the bus stop. So I'm just walking the bus route. I'm like, that's weird how they wouldn't have the airport transfer outside the station.
Yeah.
And then I realise, oh, fucking hell, I'm walking it again.
So you were walking...
The bus route, yeah. So I had to go back on myself and fucking hell, the bus, yeah.
But they're not... Did you find the international or city airport?
International.
But that's not like... You wouldn't get off there and go, I bet you the studio's round here. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I know, but it's two buses to here.
Yeah,
From international. Yeah. So, and one of them had a 17-minute walk in between bus stops. So right. I've just got me a 17-minute walk.
So in your head, you get off the
walk
the airport
for 17
and go,
minutes.
If I walk for 17 minutes, I'll be at tea with me. In any direction.
I'm not unfair with your roads. Did the Romans come to Ireland?
They're the same as yours.
So then I realised, fucking hell, I'll go back on myself. So then I got the 300. And then I weren't allowed on the 300 because I didn't have a ticket. And you couldn't pay a card on the bus. You had to download an app and all that. So Magoo is creeping up.
Yeah.
The Magoo bar is rising. Yeah. And I get really flustered.
Right.
I get stressed. I have a hissy fit. Mm-hmm. And I've got an handbag with me today. So it looks fucking great to have an hissy fit with.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the 300. Then it's a 10-minute walk to a bus stop called Waterfront.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pink. Loads of... And there's loads of different types of bus.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
There's a glider, metro... Ulster
That's
bus.
What I mean. Just have the stop.
I agree.
I hate it all, man. I hate different colours shouldn't interact, man. Travel wise.
I thought you were starting a new point.
Travel wise. Yeah. Just keep it all grey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And green for destinations. And red if you go wrong, right? So I get on and then it tells me to get off. So I'm just following Google Maps.
Yeah.
Right? Google Maps is the Magoo's friend.
Right.
I get off and it says walk here now. And I just pasted your finger. It said 10 something court around here.
You're at the top end of the town.
Top end, yeah. So I ring the buzzer and it's a block of flats. It could be a podcast studio, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've recorded in worse. Yeah. could be. And I ain't buzz and they just buzz the door, so indicating you can open.
Now, that, can I say, that's one of my biggest fears in life, when you just get buzzed. You need the person. I want the person to go, come on up, I'll come meet you at the door.
Yeah.
When you get buzzed in and that door closes behind you, it's a labyrinth.
Well, that's what I mean. So, I notice a number 9. Now, numerically, I know 10 is very close to 9. Yeah. I've got this sus.
Yeah.
I've built up that flight of stairs as a 10. I can't see it yet, but I'm pretty confident here. Magoo levels lowering. We're going back to green. We was in amber. We're going back to green.
Right.
Everything's placid. This pension answer in his underpants and socks. Going, hey, hey.
That's my dad.
Well, I said, is this Shane's house? And he went, what, anyone? And he couldn't hear me, so I'm trying to repeat myself. And now it sounds like, now I'm over, I'm here to see Shane. And he's like, hey! And then, because of the commotion, a nurse come out of number 9.
Right.
And she's like, what's going on here? Because I just look like I'm shouting at old man in his underpants, you know what I mean? And it was a resident.
In the boohoo shorts.
In the boohoo shorts. And I just felt like, say, I felt like a burglar, do you know what I mean?
I think you went into a fold. Do you know what a fold is?
No.
It's like a old people's independent living.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's
you've
what
you've gone into a fold.
That's what it was, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just saying, I'm here to see Shane.
Yeah, it was an old, yeah. It's different off camera, isn't it?
No, the great thing would have been, the great thing would have been if he had eventually heard you and went, oh yeah, they're in the kitchen.
I'm the producer.
What's a, like, you said you've recorded in worse. Have you done, like, I imagine you get asked to do podcasts a lot. I've seen you on a lot of podcasts. I think you're a great guest, such a funny guy. But if you, we've all agreed to do stuff, and halfway through, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, just one, because I feel, back from when I was like, just an open spot, I've just said yes to so many stupid fucking gigs, you know what I mean? I ended up giving a lecture to 14-year-olds ones in like one of the roughest parts of Manchester.
On what?
Well, this, right, so I was about 3 or 4 months in, I was getting paid £50.
Right.
£1 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
£50 to do comedy. Yeah.
You've been frame club. I'm, that's the way I think of £50.
Five of them a week and one Lisa Riley.
You didn't realise how bad Lisa Riley was at hosting it until Harry Hill took over.
Harry Hill, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you went straight into TV Burp after.
Yep.
Come on.
He took too much on.
I love TV Burp, though.
Incredible show.
Yeah,
but amazing. He was doing that and you've been framed at the same time.
Yeah, too much hill, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
Too many hills doth not make a mountain.
Yeah. Is that a phrase?
It is now. Sounds good, doesn't it?
That's who you said to that guy in the flat. Just left him confused.
Too many hills doth not make a mountain. I hope you survive winter. Cheerio. So I'm getting paid £50. My mate, who's also a stand-up, had a really big social media following before we did stand-up.
Right.
And people were approaching for gigs they weren't ready for, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And they went, yeah, we've just got a youth club and we're just wanting you to, like, you know, do some stand-up,
yep,
basically. So I was a bit hesitant. And they went, no, they're all 16 to 18-year-olds, it's fine. And I turned up and they were 13, 14-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And I'm 3 months in. I can barely play a room, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And 14-year-olds. And I had a bit about Friends, the TV show. Mm-hmm. Joe, doing my political stuff. In the satirical era. What is Chandler? They was like all confused, like didn't even know what Friends was. Yeah. So like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. Then this guy was like the cock of the group, mm-hmm, do you know what I mean? And I was intimidated by this 14-year-old who was, you know, manspreading. This is shit, bro. I went, oh no. I abandoned my set.
Yeah.
And I went in straight into apprenticeship ambassador role.
Right, yeah.
So I did voluntary work as an apprentice ambassador. So I used to go into schools and go, hey, it's not all about college, man. You could do an apprenticeship.
Right, oh, okay.
Learn as you learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just to get more public speaking.
In what? Like a trade?
In high schools, yeah. Oh, well, trade. But that's the misconception of it, Shane. I'm glad you brought it up. But you can do all sorts of...
you're not telling this to me.
You can do all sorts of different apprenticeships now.
Like what?
Business admin.
Okay.
Loads.
Yeah. Killing it.
Yeah. But you can do all sorts of like highly professional jobs, right, via the apprenticeship route.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just started talking to these 14-year-olds and giving them career advice and how to format a CV and stuff. Just abandoned it straight away.
You're like, listen, you're all probably going mad for Comic Sans at the minute. Move on to Arial, you'll never look back. Stop using Comic Sans.
Bold and underline, not everything.
Yeah. Do you know what was a nice touch for a CV? Bold and underline the title, and then your name in the corner, bit of a smaller font, italics.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah,
nice, isn't it?
Oh, you're speaking of a man with many jobs.
What was your first ever job?
I worked in a bookies and got sacked for fraud. It was a misunderstanding, my misunderstanding of the law.
What age were you?
I was 21 when I got slapped with the car, man.
Like, what were you doing wrong?
I was a bad gambling addict. Right. Well, I was a good gambling addict.
Yeah. Can I just suggest, not an ideal place to work.
I know, well, that's it. I was brought up around gambling. Right. So when I was 8, my dad said, I'm going to teach you how to read horse racing form and stuff because, you know, no son of mine is not being laid with addiction. So I was just massively into horse racing and gambling and stuff. And I got 100% on the manager's exam and stuff. I was like a prodigal cashier.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, do you know when you see an open spot just roof a gong show?
Yes.
And you're like, fuck me, we've got the next Kevin Bridges here.
Yes.
I was like the next Sandra Bezick.
Who the fuck, Sandra Bezick?
She was like a legendary cashier from Open Show. That was the bookies I used to go in. It was rebranded. I used to go in Jim Ramsbottom bookies with my dad of a Saturday. And, you know, just male bonding. Sort of thing.
Yeah. Ramsbottom's a shit surname, isn't it?
Yeah. It's proper good Ramsbottom.
One of the worst.
Jim Ramsbottom. And it was just like, you know, decaying on the inside, but I saw beauty in it.
Right.
And it eventually got taken over by Totesport and ended up working there as part, but you know, splitting my hours of college and stuff. And I just found, and then they got taken over by Betfred. Now, here's the good thing about a takeover, like, they've come in, taken over. Loads of people get made redundant because there's two for every role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the higher ups, the suits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the fucking front line like me, mate. We're fodder. Yeah. I'm still in the trenches, pal. But all the generals,
yeah,
they're getting fucked off, iced off, mate. And what happens when generals get iced off? There's a collapse in discipline.
Yeah.
I took full advantage of that.
Because
they weren't doing audits.
Right.
So what I was doing, I was betting on my own tail. And then at the end of the day, whatever I was down, I'd put in. And whatever I was up, I'd take out.
Right.
So credit betting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is frowned upon.
Yeah.
And one day I just lost a lot. I just lost every race. I was down 250 quid.
Right.
I was down Lisa Riley. So I'm like, I was like, I'm going to have to get the boys around with a camcorder here.
Someone get ready to cut down a tree and let's have a shed pretty near it. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah, has anyone got any grandmothers with bloomers on? So, I'm absolutely down. And I'm like, there's no more races left.
Right.
I'm out of options. Do you know what I mean? So I just went into my till and changed a losing slip to a winning one to balance my till. I didn't even take any profit off it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just balancing my till and then they did an audit, caught me. And the
are you called in for like a hearing?
Oh, lads, this disciplinary was fucking chaos, mate. So me and my mate, I got my mate involved in it. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean to like represent you?
No, because I got him a job because I was the manager. I was manager at 19, mate.
Yeah,
I'm like Will Still.
Yeah, that's such a great reference. Right. You also look kind of like Will Still,
know, yeah.
The young French Ligue 1 manager. Yeah.
So I got my mate in. I went, get on this, man, and he's never gambled, so I got him into that and that.
Hey, what a French word.
Well, he got me into coke, so.
You scratch my back.
Just drag each other down.
I'll get you gear.
So, and it was class. I was just working with my mate. We used to get beat dropped off because it was just no management in place.
You see what dropped off?
Coke. Dropped off to the shop, doing lines off the counter, drinking vodka, gambling. It was fucking paradise, mate. I used to hop, skip and jump into work. It was class. So we both got caught. We both had disciplinaries. And I go in and there's five of them.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck, I didn't think...
Top level management?
Oh, all in suits, and they've got dossiers on me and stuff. So I'm like, I was going to go in like, oh, I'm a gambling addict, I'm in the wrong environment, play the victim, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, was wrong, 21, do you know what I mean? I don't know. Just stacked all stupid, basically. And they start... So I'm just thinking it's all about the gambling and stuff. And then they fucking pull up CCTV. So there was this, I'm trying to, this sounds infantile now, but there was a fit girl who worked in Ancoats and you used to have to ring each other's shops. You know, if someone's got...
A different branch?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So sometimes you have to converse with your other shops, like, oh, thing's coming with a betting slip from your shop, blah, blah, blah. And she, every time she rang, I'd put my finger through my zip and pretend to masturbate to her. Imagine on the phone. Just to amuse myself and others.
Yeah.
And they bringing that up on camera. And I, they went, and because it's like, you know, it's not the best image. Then, are you pissing on the shop floor? And no, we weren't pissing on the shop floor. I was just pretending to masturbate. So I'm like,
It's weirder that it's your finger that you pretend to wank off. It'd be less weird just wanking.
Yeah. Well, doing all that faces and that. And then we used to get rolled up posters, you know, to put in the window,
yeah,
advertising, you know,
like the odds cup
on,
final, or
yeah,
something.
The odds on the match and shit like that. So we had 4 rolled up posters. It was Grand National weekend, so we lined them up on the shop floor. I mean, mate got our swivel chairs. And we just had our own Grand National around the house, like breaking the chairs. Fuck. Yeah. And what are you doing here? Well, it was Grand National weekend. you know, just trying to get the spirit of things and stuff like that. See us drinking on the job. Yeah. And you're like going in, bringing in a bottle of vodka from the shop, hiding it in the kitchen, and then keep coming back with glasses of Coke and gradually getting more pissed. And then what are you doing here? It's just Coke. So I'm getting absolutely hammered. Yeah. And they went, how long has it been going on for? And I went, like, since the second week I passed probation. Since training. I've worked out a flooring system. So then I thought, I'm fucked here.
Yeah.
But I'll try and be like DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can. So I'm like, I know how to beat the fraudsters because I'm the fraudster. So I'll come and work for you.
You flip like that.
Oh, I went under no pressure, mate. Because I was talking about getting the police involved in that.
Right.
But I was just like pleading poverty. And they went, how long's your mate been doing it? I went, I got him into it. Because I was like, I'll take the rap for him because it's, you know, my thing to do.
No one hear me will not part with that rap.
Oh, mate. So we're there for an hour. And my mate's next in the disciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just gone for, you know, like, yeah, be a slap on the wrist or something. Might get sacked, but
yep.
It was proper intense.
Yep.
Like, they're bringing dossiers up of bets, like, fucking ages ago, comparing my handwriting, all this stuff, and it's proper intense, about an hour and a half, this mm-hmm. meeting, and I come out sweating.
Yep.
And my mate's next, I've come out, like, ashen. And my mate's like, whoa, why was you in there so long? Is it that intense? I went, oh, no, it's fine, we just had a chat for it. Did 20 minutes of discipline, let me just add a brew in that. Could be sound. Don't worry about it. So he went in like, oh, fuck no. It was class, and then neither of us wanted to tell our mums we'd been sacked.
Yeah.
So we just went on the piss all day. It was fucking class. One of the best nights out of my life, mate.
I love that that thing from like school when like you're being talked to individually and you pass your mate in the corridor.
Oh, no.
Fucking don't say anything.
Yeah.
Ross. We stole, there was a guy in my class who had a official Gladiators baseball cap, like official merch, and did he let everyone know about it?
Oh.
The way he walked around with it, like, that was a time where, nowadays, any TV show, film, whatever, you can go online and get merch. Back then, it was only what was in the shops, no internet shopping. So this guy had, he must have like, his auntie must have known the Wolfman or something. I don't know what his link to Gladiators was, but he had the hat, and it made him so annoying because he knew people couldn't get the Gladiators. This is when like Gladiators was Saturday, yeah,
midnight. Is.
Yeah, so he's like, and he's, you know, he's acting big about it. You know, he's got this hat, and then another boy in my class Icarus over there. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's flying too close to the sun. Let's steal his hat. And I was acting the big man. I'm like coordinating part of the. I was like, here's what we'll do. I'll call him to the front of the classroom. You get it. Blah blah blah. And I said specifically though, I said to the guys, I don't want to know what you're gonna do with it, because then I can't. They can never get it out of me. You know. I was like, I said, do what you need to do, but.
I don't know where the body's buried.
But don't tell me. Yeah. Or the Gladiator's hat. So we got it. They got the hat. And like a day. And I remember seeing him out of the corner of my eye. Realised he didn't have his Gladiator's hat. And then you can't get another one. So he freaks out and stuff. Like, goes nuts in the class. Teacher gets involved. Next day, principal calls us in. three of us sitting in chairs and then individually called into the office. And the principal did that thing of going, I like you, easily flip. She went, everyone else has told me what happened. And I went, well, thank God. She went, can you just reconfirm? And I was like, yeah, well, if they've told you, I'll just, we stole that. Like, they took it. I don't know what the fuck.
She was a wily old fuck.
Yeah, she got us so bad. And what they did was they stole it. And then there was like an old abandoned part of the school. And they just like threw it into a shed, this hat. And then someone took it. That's a thing. Because they went back to get it. They like, remember that guy? Is it Anders Bradvik? Is that what he's called?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? Like, remember he then took the authorities back to where he'd done all his crimes?
I've done that as well.
Taking someone back to where you assassinated?
I went back to the scene of a crime I committed. Just to see the chaos.
What crime did you commit?
I suppose they'd class it as breaking and entering criminal damage.
Yeah.
Like 13, I lived at a certain street, Butman Street. Yeah.
Number 7, Butman Street. You're so bad at this.
I had to get the street name because of the nicknames we had.
Oh. You lived on Butman Street? Buttman?
Yeah, number 5. So I lived at 5 Butman Street. We then left for Passengers New.
Right.
Moved to RBA Lane. My mate moved into Butman Street. My house.
Okay.
So then I was like, oh, we're the Butman Street boys.
We're nicknames for a couple of guys. The Butman Street Boys. The Butman Street Boys sound like in Mafia days. You call in the Butman Boys, but they never really get the job done.
He preferred Sean and Jamie. Yeah. So he moved in. He gets evicted. But his family got evicted and kicked out and stuff.
What for?
Like, not paying rent. It's like, okay. What I mean? Just fucking gobshites, aren't they? Landlords, that is. So they kick family out. So he took umbrage with this decision. Like, where the fuck?
What age did you guys have been roughly at this time?
12, 13.
Right.
So we took issue and there's renovating the house for new family to come in. We broke in, trashed the place, ripped carpets up, said the builder's mum's a slag on the carpet, all that kind of stuff, throwing bricks every window, fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obviously all police. And the guilt hit me as soon as I'd finished. Like, oh, this is not the colour. Because at the time, it's like, just egging each other on. It, like, oh, we can sneak in.
Yeah.
We'll sneak in, have a look round. And then it went, oh, fuck this. And then it just escalated.
Like, can I just say, I'm not a policeman, but that was never the plan. We'll break in and have a look round. Yeah, hands behind your back. That's what the Butman boys do. They just stand around to look at things. You guys went there to do some damage.
Oh, they've gone with teal in the bathroom.
Yeah. The Butman boys suggest like interior design ideas. The Butman boys is the think tank for the redevelopment of houses.
Well, then we're like,
so you fuck it up and then leave, and then the guilt hits,
and then all the police cars are there. It's like all the neighbours are out. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I just went back and went, oh, what's gone on here? Hiding plain sight.
If you said it like that, they definitely know you did it.
Did you clean the graffiti up? I mean, was any graffiti there? I can't even spell, weren't they? So that was, I felt a need to go back there to see if they were suspicious of me.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there was a macabre sort of, I've caused this chaos.
Yeah. Are you still mates with the other Butman boy?
We're on pleasantries. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, guys, ever think you ever get together again? Just fucking sack a flat.
Let's go. Hey, should we go to Rajah's?
So, is your second time here?
Yeah.
In this part of the world. What was the first time you came up for a gig?
Yeah, I came up, well, I was Hot Water doing with in partnership with Limelight, Hot Water, All Stars. So I was initially booked for June, which is tomorrow. So this is why I tried to tie in some pods with it. And then I was meant to do Hot Water Cardiff in May, but that venue closed. So they said, can you come on to the May one instead and take June out your diary? But I already had pods booked in for June, so I thought I'll just do two trips, it sound.
Oh, okay. You like it here?
No, oh, I loved it. I had like a misconception about it, really.
The you gig. Think it was going to be... Oh, the gig, right.
Yeah,
right.
I thought the gig was going to be chaos.
Where was it that you did it?
Limelight.
Oh, so you've already done Limelight and you're doing it again?
Yeah. No, no, I'm not doing it tomorrow. I'm not on the build tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Because we'll get up quite a few repeats, I'm guessing.
Right, right.
So I was expecting it's going to be fucking rowdy, do you know what I mean? But I like that, like Stags In, I love all that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking proper vibrant. So I've gone, I'm like, fucking proper, come on.
Yes.
Get on the neck straight away, don't give him an inch. So then they just listened and
was just really nice.
It was really polite.
I had that at, there's a festival that happens called Fela in West Belfast, big community festival, and it's in like a big function room with 400 people. I did it last year, and you hear the stories over the years. Like, I remember one year about 12 years ago, Frankie Boyle did it. They had a big marquee tent for 4,000, and they reckon there was 8,500 people at it, just people piling over the gates to it. And it just gets built up into this like myth or legend. So I'm backstage like you going, this is going to be wild, we're going to be fighting fires all over the place. So I'm hyped up and I go out and it's just like the nicest crowd. They just literally want to hear stand up and they're like, they're the right level of liveliness.
They're not interrupting
your show. They're getting involved a bit,
but it's into it.
If you like a bit of crowd stuff, it's the level that you want.
Yeah. The worst example of that was my first time doing a Frog Lake show.
So that this is a you're from Manchester,
right? Yeah.
So and this is your club.
Frog, that's my home club. Yeah, but it took a while to get in because the previous had an agency book it, and you couldn't break through as an open spot.
Yeah.
So, and then the agency stopped booking it. And the first thing the Frog did was give us all weekends who were coming up, which was nice. So they booked me for a Saturday late show. And I'm hearing all these legendary stories about the Frog late at night. So it starts at like 11. It's going to be fucking chaos, mate. Stage time's midnight. When this is fucking me, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like fucking pumped up. Cause I listened to like grime before any gig. Do you know what I mean? I could be doing a village hall in the middle of fuck knows where. I'm fucking listening to Storms of getting ready for these pensioners, do you know what I mean?
If you had headphones on before a gig and asked me what I thought you were listening to, it would not have been grime.
Oh, do you reckon?
Like, you remember Lamar?
Oh, yeah. I've got a bit of Lamar on there.
Yeah. 50-50, that was a great song.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I could see you listening to like a bit of...
I listen to If There's Any Justice in the World, If I Lost a Gong Show.
Yeah. Do you know what? The bag's there, and I don't expect you to pull a second Lamar reference out of it, but you do it. You grab it with both hands.
Yeah.
So a gong show, people who don't know, and the one they have, correct me if I'm wrong, but you go on and you have, how many, 3 minutes?
Five.
5 minutes, but the crowd can like hit a gong and you get fucked off after. It could be 10 seconds.
Free audience member has cards and they throw it up, basically, if they think you're shy.
Yeah.
You just got to survive the five.
Right.
Basically. And when you start out, you think it is the fucking cup final. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've won beat the fucking Frog, mate.
Yeah.
And I've brought mates before and been booed off and that. And you're like, oh my God.
Isn't it wild that at the start of doing stand up, that's a time when you bring your mates to shows?
Yeah.
You're not ready. When you're absolutely not.
No.
It's like knocking a house down. Show them when it's built. When you've got the furniture in, and obviously get the Butman boys around to do advice.
Take it out. Yeah.
But at the start, you're like, I've done 2 gigs. Come and see this.
I got an applause break, and I've just thought this is Live at the Apollo by March, I'd say.
Do you know what I mean?
You're just so deluded.
Yeah.
And it was a mid. Yeah, so I'm getting. So I've been through all the gong shows, I've done the 8 spots, I've fucking grafted the Thursday, something like 5 Thursday, 10 spots, and they've all been consistently good. So I'm ready for this midnight show now, do you know what I mean? Not done many weekend gigs. Done the other Friday 10 spot and stuff like that, but I'm fucking pumped up. This is going to sound really embarrassing. But I listened to, what's the fucking, Bittersweet Symphony.
The Verve.
Yeah, walking down walking down Oldham Street. Fucking bad if people
out there. Yeah.
Turned up, they'd sold 8 tickets.
Did they cancel the pull the show?
No, they did it. Eight and like 300 seater.
The thing with that is, why that's a nightmare is the stage is quite so high. You've got ground and a balcony. Yeah, and I've done it on tour back in the day where I didn't sell any in the balcony. And even that's it. The floor's packed, but it's still a nightmare because you're like towering over them. You need the whole venue to be packed. 8 people in there.
Yeah, it was just a nice family and a couple of couples.
Yeah.
So we just workshopped some ideas, but I'm like pumped up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
that was like, I've told on the podcast many times, but what kind of sums up the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for me is one year I was doing, I was supposed to do the Fringe, and then the company that had booked these shows couldn't fulfill it. So they, like 2 weeks before the festival started, they were like, we have to cancel. So we'd no venue, no anything, paid for accommodation, all that. And then the Pleasants went, we'll take on, I think it was like half a dozen shows. Luckily, I was one of them. They said, we'll fit you in. My show started 10 past 12. Now, here's the thing about me. I like to be asleep by 10. I'm like, how am I going to do this for a month? Starting at that time. So there's no footfall. There's no one passing. So whoever is coming to your show has pre-booked, and this is years ago. So my venue held 70, and I would always say, don't tell me how many people are in. I'll just come out from behind these curtains, and it is what it is. But behind the curtains was just a wall, so I would have to just stand there. So like people probably think, oh, you're backstage drinking and hanging out with friends. For the 20 minutes where people are coming in, I'm just behind a curtain. This is like a Friday night, so I go Friday and Saturday, always busy, and the music, I've got this like pre-show playlist, like Motown, everything, and I'm like, this is going to be a good one. And my friend told me about doing this thing. I wasn't doing well at the shows. My friend said, you should do this thing, it's like a power stance before you go on. My mate goes, just like, it's all about the positive body stuff, get a power stance going. So I'm like, come on, Friday night Fringe. Music stops. It was I'm pretty sure it was a Bruno Mars song, really like uplifting. Music hits. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to stage Shane Todd. Come out from behind the curtains. Two American guys and my dad.
Oh fuck!
And I said, well, maybe not do. Like I said, I'll give you guys like a refund, I'll take yous for a drink. You two, me and my dad, we'll go to the bar. And they were like, do the show, and I'll give you a refund, and I'll do like a half hour version of the show, and it was great.
Yeah, I did 65 minutes to bar staff at Leicester a few years ago.
Did they stay behind the bar?
They stood at the back and was milling around.
Right.
And
how big was the venue? Was this Leicester Comedy Festival?
Fit like 80, I'd say. And
zero people came?
Zero people. No pre-sold tickets. So I went, it's the festival. Come on, people get on the door. And I see my flyers that I sent 2 months earlier still in the polythene bag behind the bar. So okay. And they went, you don't have to do it. And I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I did a preview in Manchester, and obviously because I'm from there, it sold out. It went really well. Like, couldn't have gone better. I'm like, it's my first time doing an hour on stage. I'm like, I've got it in me to do an hour. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
Perfect show, obviously. But I built it up in my head, like, I'll go with Leicester. I've got momentum in the show. And no people came. I'm just, like, mortified. The only time I've been more mortified was when I did an open spot London Comedy Store. And Alan Cochran was compere.
Which, by the way, obviously, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like a huge deal.
Yeah, like a trial spot.
Yeah.
It was in the Manchester one. Alan Cochran was compere. And he was like, I loved him before I started stand up. I'm like, fuck, don't talk to him or anything. I went on and fucking stunk the gaff out, mate.
In the London one?
Oh, no, Manchester. Right. Like, they needed Air Glade on there and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Fucking shambles.
Right.
Went on too aggressive, and I used to do like a character where I was like a sort of like a football hooligan, but really arrogantly self deprecation stuff. So it was like a contrast. But when it worked, it was amazing. When it didn't, it was just, you look like a fucking idiot.
And if you do a character thing, you're locked into it.
Yeah.
You can't pivot.
No, so, and I didn't have the gears anyway for a gig not going well in any sort of sense, persona regardless, just not built up the experience yet.
Yeah.
And I was backstage, and I was just with Alan Cochran, and it's just, you know, it's like palpable. It's like, you don't want to reference it because I'm new and don't want to hurt me, and I'm just like, you think the world's over, like the comedy show never going to have me again.
Yep.
You think the world's over, you're never going to make it as a comic and stuff. You have so much self-doubt going around your head. And the silence is building and building. And the pin that popped the balloon was Alan just... Have you met Alan?
I know of him.
Very, like, droll, very, like, you know, single tone sort of thing. And, well, you know, it has been hot today. Like, oh, yeah, you'll see me in November, mate. I'm fucking killer.
Will Magoo time be in, like, are you touring at the moment?
In October, September to November.
Will that be your first tour?
First tour, yeah.
Will that be a nightmare with Magoo time? Because that's a whole...
Yeah, everything's got to be planned around Magoo. Magoo is the centre point of my life. It's like I wake up every day and go, how can I go through today Magoo free?
Right. Does that happen often?
I don't have any days without Magoo.
Right.
Like sometimes, even when I've not got a gig or a podcast record, I tend to, average week, 6 days a week, tend to have Tuesdays off. Majority of the time. And
what are you doing your days off?
Well, watch EastEnders. classic EastEnders.
Oh, you go class.
I watch two series. EastEnders.
Yeah.
Classic EastEnders.
Yeah.
Modern and Renaissance, I call them though.
Yeah.
So I go downstairs, I'm in 2003.
Sorry, is Dirty Dan like peak Renaissance EastEnders?
Not for me. For the, you know, the more mature palate.
Right.
Sure. Do you know what I mean? But he's an oyster to me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I'm more of a filet man. Filet Mitchell. So I like early 2000s.
Are we talking Beppe?
Beppe DiMarco's left, yeah. I'm in 2003 at the moment, in my time scale.
Okay.
And what I do is I record... I'm watching...
Sorry, I like that you have to live your life trying to avoid spoilers for EastEnders from 2003.
Yeah, well, I know what's happened. No, I come in cycles.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I was in Sorrento Romantic Holiday with my girlfriend a couple of weeks ago. And she was having a siesta. So it's like every day she goes to bed for a couple of hours. I'm like, fucking get in. Watch EastEnders. So I have a rule. I have me rules. I have to have at least 10 in the bank at any one time of each. Do you know what I mean? 10 on record.
What do you mean of each?
Of modern and classics.
Right.
So I never catch up. I always have to have 10 in the bank.
Okay.
So I was flirting with danger on the classics. So I go, right, I'll revert back to moderns. I'm 6 weeks behind. And it's building up to Lola's death. And so I'm watching Lola die. Very good death.
I don't know who that is.
She dies.
Right.
Tumor.
If I'm you, in 2030, I'm going to be raging when I say that. Right, so...
So she wakes up from a siesta.
Simultaneously, you're watching really old EastEnders and right now EastEnders.
And this is the thing. This is why, right? Because every now and then, you hit the spot in the middle of a Venn diagram. Say, Sharon, for example.
I know Sharon.
She references an ex, and I'm currently watching that relationship. So I'm like, oh. It's like...
Who was that guy?
That's like Dan? Christopher Nolan.
Who was that guy she went to? I think he got blown up.
I'm so glad you brought this up.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Big guy?
Tom. Tom got blown up, Dennis got stabbed.
Right. Sharon's had it tough.
Oh, here's the thing, though, with Sharon. Thanks for bringing it up. Sharon often reminisces.
Right.
She harks past to the goal. You know, she goes to the past.
She what?
She harks back.
I've never seen Sharon hike.
No, hark. Oh. She doesn't hike.
Imagine if, like, 12 minutes of every episode was just Sharon hiking. No dialogue. They'd be like, she loves it.
She reminisces about her past.
Mm.
And she goes, oh, you know, with her Sharon eyes.
few people are going to love that. Right.
You know, one with my past with Phil and Grant. Then there was Dennis. No, there was Tom before Dennis. And he died. And he because he was only in it for 8 months, it's not... It's not quantity. It's quality. He was a great 8 month character. Just because he wasn't in it for years.
Yeah.
He's your fiance and he got blown up in front of your face. And when you're talking about your exes, you go, oh yeah, shit, Tom. Never happens. And it pisses me off. Do you know what I'd love to be, my dream job? Is to be the archivist for EastEnders.
Right.
You know, the continuity guy.
Yeah.
You know, like when they get Mick's birthday wrong? Yeah. When they've given two birthdays. His birthday's in October. Do you know what I mean? So picking up then sort of...
Who's your favourite, like, 8 month character? Like, who's someone we'd have forgotten about, but, like, classic EastEnders character?
Oh.
Because I used to watch it for, like, I'd say about a year or two, whenever I was a kid.
Well, the thing is... You don't get too attached. Because this is why I didn't give James Bye the benefit of the doubt. James Bye. I thought we're living in a post-Alexandru era. Who's the new Martin? James Bye's the new Martin.
Oh, yeah. Because Martin Fowler just changed.
Bye grew up on Alexandru.
Right.
I went, I don't know. I'm going to. Do you know what I mean? I'll give it a go.
Yeah. Totally new. That happens, doesn't it, when a totally new actor comes in to play an existing part?
That's what I mean. And what I hate about it is the character's got to put their own spin on it. Do you know what I mean? You can't be Alexandru for one.
Yeah.
You can be your own man.
Yeah.
You know James Alexandru, am I? You got to let yourself go and just let him breathe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like when people got used to Steve Carell as The Office. He put his own spin on it. It's what he went Ricky Gervais as Brent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's when the character flips too much and changes too much.
Yeah.
And like, like for example, here's one thing I would have changed. With James Bye and Perry Fenwick had a great scene.
Is that Billy Mitchell?
Yeah.
See, halfway through you talking there, I had an out-of-body experience where I was like, what are we doing?
It's the thing that annoys me about Pete, things not getting referenced.
Yeah.
That are massive milestones in someone's life. Huge life altering. Billy's character arc, by the way, is a joke. this lovable loser stuff. He was a fucking bully.
Right.
So Lola's on her deathbed. She's dying.
Okay.
He's the granddad. He can't deal with it. He's doing the very... hack East End, I bottle up my emotions, I'm a man. Come on, let it go. He has a heart to heart with Martin Fowler. They talk through it. Now, I know what you're thinking.
You don't.
What was the one big milestone in Billy's life? Jamie Mitchell dying. Christmas Day 02. Great death.
He's gone upstairs. The doctors.
Great death. Martin kills Jamie.
Right.
So now he's crying. Surely Lola dying. He's going, oh, this brings back memories of Jamie dying.
Right.
You know? And he takes solace in the man who killed Jamie.
Yeah.
Why is he speaking? Why not have a heart to heart with Sharon?
Yeah. She's hiking. She's in the Cotswolds. Yeah,
hiking and forgetting about Tom. If you want to speak to someone who thinks 0203 didn't exist, well, speak to her, mate.
Do you know what one of the greatest things I ever saw was? I love out of context graffiti.
Yeah.
And I remember driving through a part of West Belfast a number of years ago, and it was after a big scene in EastEnders, and at about 8 o'clock the next morning, someone had gone out after the episode, and everyone in West Belfast woke up to, on the side of a newsagent, RIP Nana Moon.
Oh, Nana Moon, man. She's still alive in my world, so thanks.
Alfie. Oh, Alfie.
Oh,
Wow, Fame.
Whatever happened to, I genuinely did not expect to spend this long on this. Whatever happened to, was there a weird thing where, like, when Jim Brannigan was still, then killed him off, but he was never in the scenes. And he's married to Doc Hutton, and she would reference him, but he was never shown on screen.
The Curious Case of James Brannan. Right. So we're introduced to Jim Brannan, circa 95, 96, when Carol's marrying Alan, who's who's black. Jim...
Does that come back into this at any point?
Yeah, it does.
Thank God.
So she's getting married to him. Jim disapproves of it. He's an old East End racist. Horrific racist. Right?
Jim?
Yeah. Horrible. Disapproves of them being together. Doesn't recognise Billy, the son, as a grandchild. It's horrible. Carol's older brother.
Billy Mitchell? Billy Mitchell and McRae's?
No, Billy Jackson.
Right. See, I hate it when they have different...
Yeah, Billy Jackson died on a couch.
Right.
After the pie. John Bianca found him. So, Jim's dead racist.
Yeah.
We're introduced to Carol's siblings. Here's what it was. This so annoys me. It's when we're introduced to Carol's siblings. There's April, Derek, and the brothers, plural. I won't name them. Later on in life, before 2014, 2015, Susie Branning comes in it. There was no Susie in 1996. Where's she?
Yeah.
You can't just fucking magic her up. It pisses me off. Yeah. And then she comes in, fleeting moment, as a romance with Phil, causes a bit of drama, leaves, never seen again, never referenced, never spoken about again. Do you like family funerals? Oh, no, just a little Susie can't make it. Nothing. It's like she didn't exist. Bring characters in, sure, but don't attach them to a family.
Right.
Especially fucking first blood. Make her a cousin.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yep. Don't commit to it.
Yeah.
I hate that when they just add a branch to a family tree. No, get another pot, put some more seeds in.
Can I ask you something that doesn't offend you? What is wrong with you?
I'm just passionate about this.
Oh, man.
So he starts off racist, Jim.
Yeah. I forgot we haven't solved Jim.
Yeah. Then Carol goes away, you know, because of the witness protection, because Billy sees an armed robbery. She goes into witness protection and that. Jim has to come and look after Sonia and Robbie. And Jim is from this horrible, nasty piece of work. And he's about late, mid-50s when we see him. Character well-established. And he comes in and is this bumbling, lovable old man with a bow tie who's best mates with Patrick and he drinks too much. What?
Right.
What's gone on there then?
So we never see a gradual change in his opinion or a pivotal moment where he goes, what am I doing, man?
Yeah, it's just a fucking lazy so man.
Is Jim dead?
Jim's dead now, yeah.
Do you think Jim just, like, do you think he did change? Or do you think he just buried it and you think he died a racist?
No, well, the thing is, he buried Max alive. Buried him alive as when Max was a kid. Do you know why Max is so fucked up? Max Brannan.
Oh, he didn't die?
No, no.
Right. I was like, that's wild that he buried him alive.
Jim did it to punish him.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how's this guy who's got these horrible views, racist, misogynist, ends up marrying Dot, and he's just this lovable oaf. Mm-hmm. Make him a lovable oaf at the start. Or keep on the racist train.
Yeah.
don't keep on the racist
train. You can't be, and that's another lesson in life, you can't be an oaf on the racist train. No. I guess fair to say.
Yeah.
That's wild. Where are you going to be touring?
Do Walford. Two nights at the Vic. I'm all over, mate.
Just different, like the calf, you know what I mean? Just like your tour is just different places on set.
I'm at Beale's place tonight, guys. Three bad sausage of everything. I'm all over, so I've sold 3 frogs out. I'm going to put a 4th one on.
Congratulations, that's great.
Nice one, man. And there's loads of extra dates, so extra date in London.
Nothing better than getting support in your home city.
Yeah, that's it, mate.
Because not everybody gets it.
And some venues were like turning me down at first, so we had to put like a limited dates on to see if we could sell. And then that convinced other venues to take me on, so I'm just really grateful for everyone buying tickets and that. So there's a fourth bonus show in Manchester, so if any Mancunian listens, 14th of November. Hot Water, there's an extra date on, 19th of November, and then I'm in Ireland, Belfast and Dublin, 20th and 21st of October.
What are you doing?
Whelan's in Dublin and Limelight, Belfast.
Great, man, great. And, do you know what? Yeah. Sometimes I hate when like you're speaking to someone that you like about where they're playing, and you go, ah, I wish we had a talk beforehand.
Yeah.
Or like, I wish I could have advised and said, like, here, I personally, I think you should do this instead of this. Whelan's is unbelievable. Whelan's is so good.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Limelight is one of those venues in Belfast that everybody knows, which is such a big advantage here. Like, you could come up with some state-of-the-art amazing place here, but if people don't, there's like half a dozen places people will go.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
if people go, I've never been there, they won't almost go.
Yeah, people are creatures of habit.
Yeah,
that's
why
I don't change channels.
Yeah.
Drama in BBC One. Dumb, mate. Forget your ITV, lad.
What's, are you going to do, so you're doing England, Scotland?
Yeah, although, yeah, so I'm doing the stands, so Glasgow. Glasgow and Newcastle sold out, so there's extra dates, Glasgow and Newcastle.
Have you done Newcastle?
I've done Newcastle, I've not done Glasgow or Edinburgh though.
All great.
Yeah, I've only done Newcastle, but just as an open spot.
Will you have someone like with you on your tour to like help you?
Yeah.
Not on stage.
Get through the day.
Yeah. No, really? Like, would you need someone?
Yeah, I've got a professional plus one. My mate, Fionn. Big bumbling idiot.
But not a racist, thankfully.
Not a racist, no. He's called Vulture Authority, so you might have seen. He's been on my podcast a couple of times. Just my mate, but he's
from a forest?
He looks like it.
What did you say, sorry?
Vulture Authority. It's his name of his band.
I thought you said he's from, like, and then named a place and said forest, and I was like, I don't
know. Oh, no, he looks like he's from a forest.
Right.
He's very foresty.
So does he get shit done?
He thinks he does.
Right.
He just mumbles a lot and, you know, he gets things over the line somehow.
Right.
He's just less thick than me.
Right, that's what you want.
So he's appointed...
Hey, say hello to these guys.
He's appointed himself director of merch.
Right.
So he's going to be on the merch stand.
Dom.
Flogging stickers and that.
Right.
So I'm just taking him with me for the crack.
Yeah, that's good.
And my support act, 90% of it is Simon Wozniak.
Yeah.
Fucking killer.
It's great.
And in Ireland, it's a pretty new act called Pete Giffin.
I know Pete.
Doing Belfast.
Pete's been on here before.
Yeah, doing Belfast and Dublin with him.
What's your rider when you travel?
I don't have any.
Nothing?
Nah, I mean, if you can get booze, I'll pay for it, son. But yeah, booze.
I bring my own stuff.
Yeah.
Which is just water and tea, but...
Oh, no, mine's booze, yeah.
What's your tipple when you're gigging?
Lager, a lot of it. A lot of lager.
Any brand?
I like ones that sound like a left-back. It's like Peroni, Moretti. So.
Yeah, like a mid-90s, like... lower half Premier League team.
Yeah.
You know, he's on left back. Carboni. Yeah, Benito Carboni.
Oh, I'd love a pint of Carboni. You know,
who's your favourite 90s footballer? Do you like football?
Oh, I love football, mate.
I'm playing against Man United next week. Oh, Man United legends.
Fuck.
Old guys.
Is Carrick playing?
No. Oh. We're talking like next level down. Here's who we're playing against. Yap Stam, Karol Poborski, Paul Parker, Brian McClair, Wes Brown, Lee Sharp, and a few more. I live for this stuff. Do you know what I want to do? Can I tell you about? I don't like saying about things that we're like planning or I want to do, because then if they don't happen, people get annoyed. I want to do tea with me, and me and Adam have talked about this, a tea with me versus have a word football match at like a Premier League ground.
Oh, that's good.
How good would you play?
Yeah.
How definitely good would, well, that
we
be?
We did a football special with have a word.
You played?
Yeah, just added some others in that.
Oh, we're doing that again. Oh, yeah. No, this is like full kit, everything.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You do the Green Room podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've heard that Tony, who you do that with...
He's a player.
He's a player?
Yeah, he's not my grandchild.
Huh?
Yeah.
Like, was she in the context of a game? Yeah, or like just like Shearer's just going to the shops?
Yeah, like six aside.
Right.
For charity. Meg Dallin Shearer.
I was in Paris for Northern Ireland versus Wales in the Euros, and... I saw Shearer and he had headphones and he was walking about, and because he had headphones, I was like, I'd love to get a picture with Alan Shearer But he's working hard. He's doing his punditry. I'll leave him to it. But I looked at him for slightly too long. Like, I was going to approach him. And then he's like, okay. And he walked on. And then I was in Paris all day going to see different things. And I kept seeing Shearer. Like, half a dozen me and Shearer passing each other at different things. So I think he thought I was stalking him.
I was amazed at the gait of Martin Keogh. So his walking gait.
I thought you said I was. I thought you meant you were amazed at the gates of Martin Keogh. Like, Keown's in his living room being like, the fuck is Jamie Hutchinson? Like, why? Why is this guy just.
You don't.
Standing there with a pint of. Juan Pablo Juan Hell. It's the best I could do. It should just be a surname.
Yeah, I was. Leonardson. He was in a. Pret. Come out of Pret. And you just think, fucking hell, he's huge, man.
He means it.
He looks serious, man.
Yep.
So, like, he is holding that cappuccino, mate. Yeah. And he's man marking that to fuck.
Yeah. Like, have you ever had, a celebrity or a well-known person be at a show you've done?
There's been a couple of boxers in Liverpool.
The Smiths?
Come to Anthony Fowler and Derry Matthews watches the pod, I think. So you get like, you know, a couple of sportsmen kind of watch it. Scarlett from Gogglebox was in the crowd when I did the stand ones, just as an open spot. Nothing too major.
When you're doing tour, you say you're doing October?
Yeah.
In Belfast?
Yeah, man.
Will you come back on?
Yeah, definitely, man.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I might be in 2004 by then.
Yeah, you can update us on what's happening with, trying to think who's like a niche. Who was, she's called Lacey Turner in real life, is she? Who's she? Would she just be joining in 2004?
She is my, I would lay down my life for her tomorrow. I would die for Lacey Turner.
Right.
You're on the saddest one.
That's big.
One of my most famous wanks,
yeah,
was over Lacey Turner spreading inside soap. Came on her face, but it was my mum's magazine, and I realised a splash of cum had gone onto green grass from Heartbeat.
As Marlon from Emmerdale looks on from the opposite page.
On his little mole. On his little nose wart.
You know,
like moisturizer for his
nose. You know that's a prop?
then I was trying to add the evidence. I mean, I was like, where's the inside soap? And it's in the bin all stuck together. So, why have you thrown it away? It was... I went... So yeah, I'm glad you brought Lacey Turner up. She's my all time.
Well, let's try and get her to a tour show.
Do you know what?
Let's take the last 2 minutes out and try and get her to a tour show.
I have weird fantasies, right?
Serious?
Yeah. Like I have three showers a day and two of them are to fantasize. I have like deliberate daydreams, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna have a daydream. Uh-huh. And I used to have a recurring daydream, so I'd just go in and like pre-program it. So I'm gonna win Britain's Got Talent today.
Remember the start of the podcast? I said, "Do you ever say something and think other people will do it, and they don't?" This is one of those.
And I used to have, when I started stand up, I fantasized about being on Would I Lie to You, right. And one of my cards was my, and I'm a mom with Lacey Turner. And one of my crushes is Lacey Turner, and she kisses him on the cheek. I used to go to the shower and think about that for about half an hour.
Why do you have to be in the shower?
It's just the atmosphere of it.
But, like, do you know, like, you're in control of your thoughts, I think. So, like, you could make her kiss you on the lips in that fantasy.
I know, but I respect her.
You respect her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that Inside Soap magazine, that really reflects
it. That is what got me to, I need to stop being a misogynist here.
Right.
She, you know, I'm going to get a peck on the cheek for God's sake. But this pre-programming dreams. I started a sales job once. And it's all like, you know, Brent Pete, you know, fucking David Brent types, you can imagine. I just bounce into different call centre jobs, get sacked every 2 months and just go into another one.
Yep.
So, and it becomes like a circuit.
Right.
You know, because you're just with all the fuckheads. So you're like, oh, fuck, I remember you from BPI, can't I? You're just going around, and I was in this one, proper like go-getter sort of people, beanbags and that, shambles. And 3 of us started on the same day. Oh, this was one of the most... I've got a high threshold for shame. This was, oh, no, mate, I've fucked this right up here. So they said, your task in your dinner is to come up with a Dragon's Den pitch, right? And pitch it to us. Whoever wins 50 quid, or you get to go home early. It's just a surprise. I'm third, and so I'm seeing the first two pitches, and as soon as the first guy starts, I go, oh, I've misjudged this. I have so misjudged the tone of this.
What does he pitch?
So he's pitching, he just sound business ideas. He's like, well, what we can do is we can capture the quote, and if they don't go ahead, we can sell that information to a third party, make money on the back end, and we just get commission off them if they consent to data protection. Just another revenue stream, and not every lead is a lost lead. And he's like, oh, that's well done. And I'm like, oh, my God, lad. What? They're meant to be real.
What did you pitch?
So the second one goes on, and he's similar sort of, well, what about if we compare the quotes from our competitors on screen with the customer journey, and if it's within something we can match, and we've got them on the phone, and, you know, matching quotes as an idea. So they're going, oh, yeah, we could do that. And then they start making fake projections and go, we currently lose, because you've got a book of stats, like, right. You know, we have like a 20% success rate. And I think that 20% with lost quotes will turn into 33% and then 50% in 3 years. They're doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done all sound business ideas, projections, SWOT analysis. So the weaknesses in the plan, the opportunities, the threats. Well, the threats are the competitors could get wind of it and lower their prices and stuff. I went on after all this. I went, imagine you could program your dreams right. You went, what? And I went, you like type it in and you stick the things to your head and you dream that you're the Champions League winner. They're like, what's that got to do with the business? I went, well, if we get into that, we're fucking millionaires, mate. So that's when I was a freak. I was like, oh, lad, I'm fucking... Because the pack they gave us, I thought it was just information about the company.
Yeah.
But that was information for you to build the Dragon's Den pitch on. It was a fucking mess, lad.
You should... I think, like, government and scientists could learn so much from you. You know what I mean? You should be studied.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I just think when you don't have, a filter in your head. I kept a lot of this bottled up for years. I was a really shy kid, but I just had my own rules that I lived by and stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just my own little foibles, I guess. But I think, fucking hell, I'm a bit bored. I'll go and have a shower and win the darts.
The only thing I think is weird is the shower element to it. You know what I mean? Like, if one day you can do that without the shower.
I do it in queues.
Uh-huh.
So I was in...
So you see a queue in the airport, you don't think, oh, for fuck's sake, you go... I could potentially, like, win the PGA Tour.
Yeah, the airports are different because I'm stressed because Central Magoo queues at a bar, for example. And this was great. I was in O'Shea's in town, Manchester, like an Irish bar. And so obviously it's just rammed. So I start fantasizing about fucking ripping the gig because I'm gigging that night. I just go. And I'm fantasizing about banter going well with the audience. I'm just like whispering to myself, and it was my turn to get queued, and she's like, you know, bringing me out, and went, Jamie, and she was a fan of the pod, But because I've spoke about it in the past, you went, I'm just so glad I got to see that in person. You just drift off.
I also imagine you didn't have to wait for the other people to be served. I imagine when you start doing that, it's like the Red Sea. It's like, serve this guy, he needs it. He needs it. It's on us. It's on us.
Why is he mumbling? How long have you been together?
What are you doing, mate? Jamie, thanks a million for coming over and coming on. When you come back over, we'll do another one.
Yes,
But yeah, we'll put a link. Do you have a link for the Limelight Show?
Yeah, jamiehcomedy.com, and I'll get the specific link for.
We'll put a specific link in the description of this podcast. Yes. Go to that. I'll come watch that. That'll be a nice time.
Thank you very much.
That'll be a really nice time. Thanks a million. It's lovely to meet you in person. Yeah, I think I'm a big fan, so thanks for coming over.
Nice, man. Appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much. Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.